We're still reading the chameleon is taken from Malachi, chapter 1. I'll be reading verses 6 through 8. Malachi 1, 6 through 8. A son honors his father, and a servant his master. If then I am the father, where is my honor? And if I am a master, where is my reverence? Says the Lord of hosts to you priests who despise my name. Yet you say, in what way have we despised your name? You offer this defiled food on my altar. But say, in what way have we defiled you? By saying the table of the Lord is contemptible. And when you offer the blind as a sacrifice, is it not evil? And when you offer the lame and sick, is it not evil? Offer it then to your governor. Would he be pleased with you? Would he accept you favorably? Says the Lord of hosts.
Well, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
It's good to see each and every one of you. If you're visiting with us, we're certainly very glad that you've come our way. We are so thankful for the opportunity we have to be with brothers and sisters in Christ and worship in spirit and in truth. But how glad we are you are here with us this morning to worship God. We're so thankful for all that serve here at Sandyville. We're thankful for all those that serve and worship. We're thankful for those that serve in terms of being Bible class teachers and helping behind the scenes. So many people doing many things, and we're thankful for each and every one. In the Wednesday Bible study, I've been subbing in for a few weeks for Brother Jenny, and I finished chapter 1, and one person came up to me directly and said, you really need to preach chapter 1. So that's what I intend to do this morning to the best of my ability, and other people kind of indirectly implied it. They said, you know what, this would be very good for us to have Sunday morning. As we think about our worship, we think about our service to God, and certainly think about what we are offering to God. There's so many things that we can learn from the Old Testament. We really are not that much different than those individuals. Yes, we're under the New Testament. We serve underneath the New Testament. But the same problems that they face, we still face today. You know, in Malachi chapter 1, we have God's people. And God's people have actually returned from Babylon. And they have returned home. And really, they should be grateful, they should be thankful, and they should be ready to serve the Lord with a fervor, a zeal, and a passion. But what we find is actually they are struggling with their worship. They are struggling with their worship to the point that they are not really listening to what God has asked for. They're not really putting any effort and caring about what they are doing in terms of the sacrifices that they're offering to God, which would be worship in the Old Testament. And we can see how Malachi, inspired by God, addresses a people that have really fallen out of love with God. And falling out of love with God, their worship and their sacrifices to God are coming up short. We're talking about God's people. God's people falling short when it comes to worship. God's people falling short when it comes to service to Him. That's exactly what we have in chapter 1. And what we would like to look at this morning is looking at how God responds to our second best. How does God respond to second best worship? How does God respond when we don't listen in terms of worship? How does God respond when we don't care when it comes to worship? I think we find many of those answers right here in chapter 1 of Malachi. I think we find God's people not satisfied with the situation they find themselves in. And because of that, they're not listening and they're not caring. And I think God sends a very powerful message in Malachi chapter 1 that an insincerity in worship is an insult to Him. Insincerity in worship is an insult to Him. And I think we also see in chapter 1 that God will not accept leftovers. I think these are messages that can ring out to us today as we serve God under the New Testament. God does not accept leftovers. Do you understand that? God, it is an insult to God when we are insincere when it comes to our worship and our service to Him. In fact, I think Malachi, there is, in Malachi chapter 1, as there is a wrap-up of God really addressing them getting second best, I think God really gives us the idea of, if you want to see how you're going spiritually, look at what you're giving to God. If you really want to see how you're going spiritually, see what you're giving to God. See what you're sacrificing to God. Because therein lies a picture of really your relationship with God. What we see in Malachi chapter 1 is God's people are really offering trash to God. And even worse than that, it's almost like they go to God and say, God, you should accept this. You should accept this trash that we're offering. And God says, I will not accept. I will not accept your second best. I will not accept when you're not listening to me. I will not accept when you're not caring the way that you should. What a powerful message from the Old Testament. Let's get into the text. We're very thankful for Brother Mickey reading those first few verses where we're going to start today. We're going to look at verses 6 through 8. And as we read verses 6 through 8, I think we can see that God's people in the Old Testament are falling short. And I think it becomes abundantly clear that the people of God here are offering second best to God. Let's look at verses 6 through 8, Malachi chapter 1. It says, the son honors his father, and a servant his master. If then I am the father, where is my honor? And if I am a master, where is my reverence? Says the Lord of hosts. To you please who despise my name, yet you say, in what way have we despised your name? For you offer defiled food on my altar, but say, in what way have we defiled you by saying the table of the Lord is contemptible? And when you offer the blind as a sacrifice, is it not evil? And when you offer the lame and the sick, is it not evil? Offer it then to your governor. Would he be pleased with you? Would he accept you favorably, says the Lord of hosts? In chapter 1 of Malachi, verses 6 through 8, we see that the people are offering their second best to God. God has told them what they should offer. God has been very clear. We can go back to Leviticus and Deuteronomy, and we can see even Exodus, and we can see what God asked the people to offer, and yet when we're here in Malachi chapter 1, we see that the people are actually disregarding God. And they're really offering what they want to offer. It starts out with some questions. A father receives honor, and a master receives honor and respect. And God says, if I'm your master, if I'm your father, where's my respect? Because I'm not seeing it in your actions. I'm not seeing it in the way you conduct yourself. I'm not seeing it in your worship. Because you're not listening to what I said, and you're really not caring when those offers come before me. You know, honor was big. It should be big for us today as New Testament Christians, but certainly it was big for them as Jews. We remember Exodus chapter 20 and verse 12, one of the Ten Commandments, honor your father and mother. They would understand this very well, that mom and dad are supposed to have our honor, our respect, and even our service. And God's saying, if I'm your father, where is my respect? Where is my honor? Where is my service? You want to call me father, you want to call me Lord, but you don't want to even do what I've asked you to do. How sad it is when we cut the creator of the universe short. The creator of the universe that has created each and every one of us has created the world, and yet it comes time to worship, and we are bringing second best to the Lord instead of bringing what God has asked and bringing it with the appropriate attitude which God has asked us to bring. In Psalm 139, verse 14, it says, I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works. And that my soul knows very well. Do we cut the creator of the universe short when it comes to our worship, when it comes to our service? Certainly we shouldn't do that when we reflect on what God has done for us. In a spiritual sense, yes, but even in a physical sense. In Acts chapter 17 and verse 25, it says, God has given us life, breath, and all things. How much of your life have you given back to the Lord? He's given you your life. How much of your breath have you given back to the Lord? He's given you every single breath that you have. God has given you all things. How many of your things have you given back to the Lord? The people here in Malachi chapter 1, they're struggling. Because they're not really listening to God anymore, and they're not really caring. And you know what? They have the nerve to say, God, we have not wronged you. Look there at the end of verse 6. God says you would give your father honor and respect. You would give your master honor and respect. But when it comes to me, you're not really doing that. And at the end of verse 6, it says, can you preach who despise my name, yet you say, in what way have we despised your name? You know what the people of there are saying? God, we're worshiping you right. Wait, you're worshiping God right and you're not listening to God? Wait, you're worshiping God right and you don't care? And God is really going to just broadcast what they're offering. They say, God, what way have we despised you? God, well, how have we wronged you? We haven't wronged you at all. And God's going to just say, look at your worship. Look at your service. It's very clear when you look at it, this is not what I've asked for. It's clear that you're not really caring about this the way that you should. And really, we see that established throughout Malachi. See, there's a lot of people that run around on planet Earth. Some of them are even perhaps our brothers and sisters in Christ. It's easy to point our finger at the denominational world. It's a little harder to point the finger at ourselves and ask ourselves these hard questions. Are we giving God our best? But there's a lot of people that run around and say, I don't disrespect God. What are you talking about, Kyle? I don't disrespect God. I don't dishonor God. And you know what's coming in Malachi? Is Malachi is going to say, look at what you're doing. God is after this, and you're giving this. How is that respect, and how is that honor? You're not caring the way that you should. You're not listening the way that you should. There are many people that run around on planet Earth, and they say, I'm not dishonoring God. I'm not disrespecting God. But you're not listening to God. And you're not caring what God says. You're not worshiping the way that He's asked to be worshipped. It reminds me of Luke chapter 6 and verse 46. It says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things that I say? I mean, really, that's a summary of verse 6 in Malachi. Why do you call me Lord? Why are you calling me Father? Why are you calling me Master when you won't do what I've asked you to do? When you don't care about what I've said? I think in Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 through 23. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say on that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? Cast out demons in your name and done many wonders in your name. And I'll declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye who practice lawlessness. Basically, ye who don't listen to me. Ye who don't listen to me. I think of 1 John chapter 1, verses 3 through 4. By this we know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He who says, I know him, but does not keep the commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. You know, we've got a lot of that here in Malachi chapter 1. These people are saying, oh yes, we know God. Oh yes, we're not disrespecting God, but you're not listening to God. You're not really caring the way that you should. There's a big problem here in Malachi chapter 1. You think about that. God says, where's my honor? Where's my respect? And the people said, well, God, what way have we disrespected you at the end of verse 6? And then God, Malachi, just lays it all out. You want to see how you're disrespecting me? You're putting defiled food on the altar. Now, you can read Leviticus and you can see the type of things that they should be offering, the things that they should be doing. They're not doing that. They're offering defiled food. Not only that, you get to verse 8, they're offering the blind as a sacrifice. They're offering the lame as a sacrifice. They're offering the sick as a sacrifice. And you go down to verse 13, they're also offering the stolen. Doesn't sound like death to me. In fact, when we go back and we can read the Old Testament, we can read Leviticus chapter 21. We can read Deuteronomy chapter 15 and verse 21. We can read Leviticus chapter 22 and know that God prescribed what He wanted in worship. He didn't want the blind. He didn't want the sick. He didn't want the diseased. He didn't want the stolen. He wanted a spotless lamb in many cases. And of course, all of the requirements are laid out in the Old Testament for what they should be sacrificing. But the question is, why are they not? Why are they not offering what God asked for? Do they not love God? Do they not respect God enough to fulfill His request, what He has asked for? Do they not care? And I think really, you start to look at it, it's kind of a combination of all. I think their love is not the way it should have been for God. I love you, but I'm not going to listen to you. I'm going to love you, but I'm not going to invest my best in you. There's a problem here in Malachi chapter 1. And what's sad is it's the people of God. Now, here's what I think. Is if people in the Old Testament could struggle with giving their best to God, can we today, as New Testament Christians, can we struggle with giving our best to God? And I think the answer is yes. Is if they could struggle back then with giving their best, do we struggle today, as New Testament Christians, giving our best to God? These people are not listening to God. God says, offer this, and they say, we're going to offer that. They're not listening, they're not caring. And you know what? I think that kind of can be summarized in John chapter 4, verses 23 and 24. In John chapter 4, verses 23 and 24, it kind of talks about worship. It says, the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship Him. God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. You know, when you think about truth and spirit, maybe I can match them up with these terms. Truth, do you listen to God? Spirit, do you care? Truth, do you listen to God? Spirit, do you care? Do we listen to God? Do we care? I think if we listen to God and we care, we're going to have worship that is acceptable to God. But if we don't listen and we don't care, I don't think our worship is acceptable. And that is going to be brought up in Malachi chapter 1. You think you can offer second best to God and God's going to be happy with that. Look at the end of verse 8. It says, would He accept you favorably, says the Lord of hosts. You know, that's a good question. Would God accept worship when people aren't listening to God? Would God accept worship when people don't have the right attitude and they're really not offering their best to God? And I think the clear answer is, if God does not accept worship when we don't listen, and God does not accept worship when we don't care. And certainly this would have hit these people between the eyes, because really the case is being laid out. They say, what way have we disrespected God? You're not listening to God. In what way have we disrespected God? You don't care. You're not even offering your best. You're offering second best. You're even going beyond that, really. They're offering complete trash to God. Oh, yes, we're for God. Oh, yes, we're true worshipers of God, but we don't listen, we don't care. Isn't that crazy? Oh, yes, God. How have we despised you, God? How have we disrespected you? When you don't listen to God, when you don't care, God, I believe, does not accept that. And I don't think it's rocket science. You know, think of the trees for a minute. In Matthew chapter 7 and verse 18, it says, a good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Therefore, by your fruit, you will know them. Really, what God is doing is God is taking their fruit and saying, take a look at it. Take a look at it. Take a look at what you're offering. These people say, God, what way have we disrespected you? And God says, look at this lame that you're offering to me. Look at this stick that you're offering to me. Look at the stolen you've offered to me. And He says, you think that that's your best? You think that that is acceptable when it comes to your worship and your service to the Lord? Not listening to God and not caring about what God has said is a dangerous combination. And I think when we don't listen and we don't care, really we're denying God with our actions. And I think that's possible. In Titus chapter 1 and verse 16, it says they profess to know God, but in works they deny Him, being abominable, disobedient, and disqualified for every good work. It's possible for you to deny God without saying a word. God's just going to look at the way you act. God's just going to look at the way that you worship. God's just going to look at the way that you serve. You can deny God without saying a word. In fact, there's that old adage, actions speak louder than words. And I think that's what God's doing in verses 6 through 8, is these people say, we haven't dishonored you, God. We haven't disrespected you. And God just says, look at it. Just look at it. It's not what I've asked for. You're not caring. You're offering your second best. You can say whatever you want. But I'm not going to accept this. In fact, verse 8 is very powerful. It says, and when you offer the blind as a sacrifice, is it not evil? And when you offer the lame and the sick, is it not evil? Is it not evil when we offer a second best to the Lord? It says, offer it then to your governor. Would he be pleased with you? Would he accept you favorably, says the Lord of hosts? You know, I thought about that a lot. People pull all kinds of things with God, the creator of the universe, that they would never pull with their employer. Oh yeah, you would try. Well, we could rattle off a big list, couldn't we? We could, couldn't we? It's just a matter of respect. It's a matter of how we're going to serve God in this life. I think it's timeliness. How do you treat God? How do you treat the workplace? Well, I'd never be late for work. But you know what? I might be late for service. And I'm not trying to be hard on anyone. I have three little ones at home. Sarah's kind of got the one. Eventually, we'll have the four little ones here. My parents' rule was you need 15 minutes per kid to get them ready. So my clock time starts an hour before because I've got to do 15 minutes for Avia, 15 minutes for Uriah. I understand we have challenges. But how do you handle timeliness at the workplace, and how do you handle timeliness when it comes to service to the Lord? Of course, we could think about all kinds of things. Would your employer be okay with the way that you're involved at the workplace? Well, I'm very involved at the workplace. I put in a good day's work. Well, are you involved in the work of the Lord? Would you try to get away with what you're doing at church with what you're doing at work? I think of timeliness. I think of involvement. I think of attendance. I do think of attendance. I think of attendance in relation to our service to the Lord. How many days do you miss at work? Well, I don't miss days at work. I only miss days at work unless I'm sick or something major is going on in my life. Well, how do you handle service to the Lord, worship to the Lord? How do you handle that? There are a lot of things that people would not try on the workplace, but they try it with God all the time. God will be okay if I'm not involved. God will be okay if I'm not on time. God will be okay if I don't give the right effort. God will be okay if I don't attend. Do we really think that? It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. I am not going to be able to trick God. I'm not going to be able to fake God out. I'm not going to be able to pretend with God. God is going to know. God is going to be able to cut through everything. And He's going to be able to see if Kyle Lancaster is giving his best. He's going to be able to see it. I might be fooling all of you, but God is going to see it as clear as day. Am I giving my best? I think in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7. It says, I actually think it's kind of a scary verse in some respects. It says, God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. You think you're going to pull one over on God? You know, my brother, we used to have a lawn mowing business when we were in high school and early college. And my brother, he just kind of met, you know, brothers met with each other. We'd be weeding in a house, and he said, I'll do this side of the house, you do the other side of the house. Well, sometimes I peek around the corner and he'd just be revving the engine, you know. He'd just make sure his side of the house was going a little bit slow. I'd do my side fast and then I'll be like, I'll help you with this side. But he'd just be revving his engine. You know, you're not going to be able to fool God. God's got the eagle's eye view. He can see both sides of the houses. He knows who's going to work on this side of the house. He knows who's going to work on the other side of the house. There's no fooling God. God knows what you're offering. And when we offer second best, God will not accept that. Says, offer it then to your governor. Would he be pleased with you? Would he accept you favorably, says the Lord of hosts? That's a powerful question. Will God accept second best? Will God accept our worship when we don't listen? Will God accept our worship when we don't care? And I think the answer is no. And I think in verses 9 through 11, God's going to make that clear. You want to offer second best? Go at it. You want to offer second best? Go at it. But understand that the Lord will not accept it. Let's look at verses 9 through 11. It says, but now entreat God's favor, that he may be gracious to us, while this is being done by your hand. Will he accept you favorably, says the Lord of hosts? Who is there, even among you, who would shut the doors so that you would not kindle fire on my altar in vain? I have no pleasure in you, says the Lord of hosts, nor will I accept an offering from your hand. For then the rising of the sun, even to its going down, my name shall be great among the Gentiles. In every place incense shall be offered to my name, and a pure offering, and my name shall be great among the nations, says the Lord of hosts. You know, in verse 9, it says, but now you entreat God's favor. This is the idea that these people are offering second best to God, and now they're saying, God, please bless me. Please entreat me. That's the idea. So it says, but now entreat God's favor that he may be gracious to us while this is being done by our hands. Will he accept you favorably? So when you go to God and you say, God, help me out with this. I need a blessing. God, we want you to be gracious to us, but we're offering you second best. Then the question's asked, will he accept you favorably? We know the answer. We know the answer, don't we? That these people, when they're not listening to God, God asks for this, and they say, we're going to give you this, God. When these people say, you know what, we're really not going to give you as much as you really have asked for, we're going to offer less. Will God really accept that? I mean, the question's right there. It says, will he accept you favorably, says the Lord of hosts. And I think we know the answer is God will not accept it. Now, that's an idea right there. That God will not accept worship. Now, I know in the denominational world, I know in our culture, in our society, all they say is if somebody's sincere, that's all God's looking for. I don't think so. In Malachi, he's looking for people that listen and people that care. People that listen and care, spirit and in truth. Maybe you would think of it that way, spirit and in truth. God is looking for people that listen and care. You know that worship has been a problem for man since the beginning of time. Think about Cain and Abel. We've got those two brothers there. In Hebrews, we get a little bit more of the picture. It says that Abel offers his sacrifice by faith. It says in Genesis chapter 4 and verse 5 that Cain's offering was not respected. Well, why was Cain's offering not respected? Because he didn't listen to God. He didn't do what God asked him to do. So it was not respected. It was not accepted. Wait, God can reject worship? Yes, God rejects worship all the time. He rejected Cain's worship. And we don't have to go much farther. If we get to Leviticus chapter 10, we find a couple individuals, Nadab and Abihu. Leviticus chapter 10. In Leviticus chapter 10, it says they offered strange fire to the Lord, which he had not commanded. Wait, they're just doing something that God didn't ask for. Surely they're not going to get in trouble. The fire comes out and consumes them. Leviticus chapter 10 and verse 1. Wait. Cain and Abel. We've got acceptable worship. Not acceptable worship. Leviticus chapter 10. We've got worship that is rejected by God. We can actually continue throughout the scriptures, and we can find all throughout the Old Testament there are many times where God said he would not accept worship. I think it's Solomon. Solomon in 1 Kings chapter 11, the women in his life turned him away from God. In 1 Kings chapter 11 verse 6, it says that God said that Solomon was not doing basically what he asked. What he was doing with false worship. I think of Amos chapter 5. Amos chapter 5 verses 21 through 24. And God is talking to those people there. This is what God is saying through the prophet Amos. This is God's people. Would God ever reject worship? Would God ever say, no, I'm not accepting that? In Amos chapter 5 verses 21 through 24, it says, I hate and despise your feast days. And I do not favor your sacred assemblies. Though you offer me burnt offerings and your grain offerings, I will not accept them. God has not accepted worship throughout time. God has looked at worship and said, if you don't listen and you don't care, I don't want anything to do with it. And actually, as Amos chapter 5 continues, God says, I don't want to even hear it anymore. I don't want to hear the noises of your songs. Well, why was that? Because they weren't conducting themselves in the way they should. See, these people in Amos chapter 5, they thought they could live a worldly life all week, and they could show up to worship, and God would be happy with them. Oh, yeah, they're making sacrifices. Oh yeah, they're making offerings to God, but God, in Amos chapter 5, God's telling the people, I will not accept this worship. Because you're not trying to live your life right at all. And you think you're okay because you just go through the motions, you are not okay. Jesus had problems with worship in the New Testament. In Matthew chapter 15, verses 8 through 9, Jesus had problems with worship. In Matthew chapter 15, verses 8 through 9, the Bible says this, hypocrite, well did Isaiah prophesy about you, saying, these people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And in vain do they worship me, teaching the doctrines the commandments of men. You know, hypocrite, it really carries with it the idea of pretender. A hypocrite is a pretender. So Jesus, Matthew chapter 15, verses 8 and 9, pretenders. Well did Isaiah prophesy about you, saying, you people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips. Oh, they talk a good game. But their heart is far from me, in vain do they worship me, listening to what men say. These people in the New Testament, transferring over to the New Testament, Jesus preaching and teaching individuals, he says, worship sometimes is not accepted. So when we're in Malachi chapter 1 and we have these questions, will he accept you favorably? Would he accept you favorably? I think the answer, if we're honest with ourselves, is there is certain worship that God does not accept. And when we're offering worship that is not aligned with what God has asked for, well, we don't care about what we're offering before God. You know what God says in verse 10? Just shut the door. If you're not going to do it right, don't do it at all. Look at verse 10. It says, who is there even among you who would shut the door so that you would not kindle fire on my altar in vain? I have no pleasure in you, says the Lord, nor will I accept an offering from your hand. It can't get any clearer than that. If we offer second best to the Lord, if we do not listen to God, if we do not care, I don't think God accepts our worship today. I think there are many people, even of our brothers and sisters in Christ, that attend worship, that go through the motions, but their heart is not in the right place. And I don't think God hears it. And I don't think God accepts it. Because we have decided to offer second best to the Lord. Is God okay with second best? You know, I think of in Revelation chapter 3, it talks about individuals that are lukewarm. I don't think God is okay with second best. In Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 13, the Bible says this, bring no more futile sacrifices. Incense, your incense is an abomination to me. The new moon, the Sabbath, and your calling of assemblies. I cannot endure iniquity and the sacred meeting anymore. There are times where God will not accept worship. I think most of the time when we look in Scripture, it's when we don't listen and we don't care. As the New Testament church, which one are we more likely to struggle with? Oh, it's easy to look out in the denominational world. If we are going to struggle with worship today, are we more likely to struggle because we're not listening to God or because we don't care? With the voice of God in spirit and truth, would we struggle more likely with not listening to God or not caring? See, it's easy to point the finger at other people. Well, those people aren't listening, so God's probably not accepting their worship. When we don't listen, we don't care, God will not accept it, and I think we see that clearly in Malachi. Let's go to the last bit. We see that if we offer second best, God will not accept it. And I think the question we have to ask ourselves, what are you offering to the Lord? Let's look at verses 12 through 14. Look how many times you is brought up here. Verses 12 through 14, it says, but you profane it, in that you say the table of the Lord is defiled, and its food is contemptible. You also say, oh, what a weariness, and you sneer at it, says the Lord of hosts. And you bring the stolen, the lame, and the sick. Thus you bring an offering. Should I accept this from your hand, says the Lord? But cursed be the deceiver who has in his flock a male and takes a vow to sacrifice to the Lord what is blemished. For I am a great king, says the Lord of hosts, and my name is to be feared among the nations. I've got a question for you. What are you offering to God? See, these people are saying, God, we haven't wronged you. And God just says, look at what you're offering. You're not listening. You're not caring. I think God's making it very clear. And the people, we can just see their attitude. Oh, what a weariness it is to come to worship. Oh, what a weariness it is to serve the Lord. You know how you don't lose that? You know how we become not weary? If we remember what God's done for us. And I think that's why we should take communion, so we can remember what God's done for us, and that helps us to be grateful and mindful of what God has done and not forget. So these people are clearly offering second best. These people are clearly offering second best, and it's not accepted. But I want to focus on verse 14. Verse 14, there's this idea of a promise that's made. An idea of a promise that is made. Verse 14, it says, "But cursed be the deceiver who has in his flock a male and takes a vow, but sacrifices to the Lord what is blemished." The idea is this person has made a promise to God. They say, "God, if you grant me safe travels, God, if you do this in my life, I promise that I will do this. I will give you a sacrifice and it will be my best." But then what happens is the person actually offers second best. If you look at verse 14 and you think about it, it's almost like the idea that we have this person that says, "Oh God, I am making you a promise that I will do this. I will offer you my best." But when the time comes, the person does not offer their best at all. They offer second best. What are you offering to God? See, I think as New Testament Christians, we made a promise. And we were actually in a hard place. See, we were lost in our sins, and we come to God and say, "God, if you could help me in this situation, I would do anything. God, if you will cleanse me of my sins, I will do what needs to be done. I will give you myself as a living sacrifice," which actually I think that's what the New Testament calls us to do in Romans chapter 12. "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice," Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. So when it comes to you going to make an offering to God, God doesn't want dead offerings anymore. He's looking for you. He's looking for you to offer yourself. Offering yourself in the terms that you will listen to God, that you will care, that you will serve God. And I think when we are baptized for the remission of sins, in Romans chapter 6, verses 3 and 4, we are to be raised in newness of life, listening to God, caring about what God says, and serving Him to the best of our ability. What are you offering to the Lord? Are you offering God second best? If you offer second best, it will not be accepted by God. When it comes to our worship, we need to keep that at the forefront of our mind. Understand, if we are not offering our best, if we are not listening, if we are not caring, I believe God will not accept. Why not offer your best to God? God certainly gave His best for you. I think of John chapter 3 and verse 16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son." God gave His best. God did not say, "Let me offer the sick. Let me offer the disease. Let me offer the lame. Let me offer the stolen." God offered His best for us. The question is will we offer our best back to Him? Perhaps you need to become a New Testament Christian. Perhaps you need the prayers of the church. Hear the word. Believe, repent, confess, be baptized. Become that New Testament Christian. And please, listen and care. Because certainly that's what our God is looking for. Few subjects of invitation. We ask you, please come as we stand as we sing.